Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Spirit of Truth Ministry is delighted to bring you The Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling, where we test the beliefs of Christianity against the very words of Jesus that he gave his own eyewitness disciples. Join us for a unique and challenging study into truth, justice, and the kingdom of heaven.
Hello, hello, and welcome everyone on this final day of 2022, December 31, 2022, and we're delighted that you've taken a few minutes out of your busy schedule to join us here on our Blog Talk radio station for Spirit of Truth Ministry. We are going to get started in just a minute, but first, again, I want to welcome you today. We are going to be, as we almost always do, and as Rick has hinted in our pre-program discussion, we're going to be doing a little bit of a recap about what we have learned this year, and maybe even hear some new stuff. Who knows? Our primary website is located at spiritoftruthministry.net. And there you will find our book, The Spirit of the Church, by Rick Sterling and me, Dennis Neufeld. You will also find lots and lots of good writing by Rick Sterling. We have a secondary website, our historic website. It is located at spiritoftruthministry.net/SM. And there you will find lots of good writing by Rick and the rest of us, and some biography, and it's a page called the New Book page. Back when we posted it in 2007, it indeed was a new book and just published. We encourage you to go there because there's still a lot of good stuff there. Our Facebook page, our one, what would you call it, foray into social media is found at Facebook. It is Spirit of Truth Ministry Group. I will post all of this information there and on our chat on our Blog Talk radio station. Father in heaven, Jesus Christ, thank you for bringing us all through another year, a momentous year, a year of great conflict and strife in the world and great exposure to all sorts of both evil and good. And Father, we now know that next year will be even better. We thank you, Father, that you will, in your great mercy, carry us through next year as well. And I pray that as we serve you and as we learn the truth about salvation, about the kingdom of God, about justice, I pray, Father, that you will, in your mercy, help us to share that with a wider and wider audience, either here or in some other form, whereby the kingdom of heaven can grow into that great mountain that you showed us in Daniel. I thank you for doing this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And good morning, Larry. I'm going to put your mic up in just a minute, Larry. But
good morning.
And good morning, Rick. And let's talk to Dr. Don just for a minute. Good morning, Don.
Good morning. Good morning.
And how are you faring on this last day of the year?
Well, I'm doing pretty good. It's drizzling down here. Wet. It's drizzling.
Dripping.
Yeah. So nice to hear your voice. And just a minute or two, Mike will be showing up here as well. So good morning, Rick.
Yeah, Dennis, take a deep breath. Let it out slow.
In through the nose, out through the mouth.
Relax and listen. And I pray that you will hear something that will help you in your further understanding of the God of truth and justice. Yesterday I read from Isaiah chapter 42. I was going to start with that today, but starting with verse 6 through 9. And as I read this, think of this as God speaking to you. I, Yahweh, called you to serve the cause of right. I have taken you by the hand and formed you. I have appointed you as a covenant of the people and light of the nations, to open the eyes of the blind, to free captives from prison, and those who live in darkness from the dungeon. My name is Yahweh. I will not yield my glory to another, nor my honor to idols. See how former revelations have come true. Fresh things I now foretell before they appear. I tell you of them. Now turn over a few pages to Isaiah chapter 55. Starting with verse 1.
Oh, no.
But yes, Larry, 10 and 11 are the key verses, but we're starting with verse 1.
That key fit anything?
It does. Believe it or not. Oh, come to the water, all you who are thirsty. And I'll add, if you're not thirsty, don't bother. Though you have no money, come. Buy corn without money and eat. And at no cost, wine and milk. Why spend money on what is not bread? Notice the theme here, and when we get to verses 10 and 11, you will, I think, be able to see in a little bit different light that God, through Isaiah, is not talking about physical water and physical corn and wine and milk. Why spend money on what is not bread, your wages on what fails to satisfy? Listen. Listen to me, and you will have good things to eat and rich food to enjoy. Pay attention. Come to me. Listen, and your soul will live. With you I make an everlasting covenant out of the favors promised to David. Whenever he uses David in these, in anything, he's talking about the kingdom of God, his kingdom. David was the king of the kingdom of God on earth. See, I have made of you a witness to the peoples, a leader and a master of the nations. See, you will summon a nation you never knew. Those unknown will come hurrying to you for the sake of Yahweh, your God, of the Holy One of Israel, who will glorify you. Seek Yahweh while he is still to be found. Call to him while he is still near. Let the wicked man abandon his way, the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn back to Yahweh, who will take pity on him, to our God, who is rich in forgiving. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways not your ways. It is Yahweh who speaks. Yes, the heavens are as high above the earth as my ways are above your ways. My thoughts above your thoughts. Yes, as the rain and the snow come down from the heavens and do not return without watering the earth, making it yield and giving growth to provide seed for the sower and bread for the eating. So the word that goes from my mouth does not return to me empty without carrying out my will and succeeding in what it was sent to do. God does not lie, ever. God who created the universe, everything in it, this world and everything above it, on it, and in it. And all of his creation still works in a very orderly manner, is still here for all of us to observe. That same God who keeps the universe in order is able to keep the words that he has given to us here on this earth, to preserve those words so that we can read them in our own language and understand them with the assistance of the Holy Spirit. She is our teacher, our guide, our comforter, our helper. And she wants very much to bring us into the fullness of truth, which is why she is called the Spirit of Truth. We are all like sheep. And like sheep, we have gone astray, all of us. What God wants us to do is to wake up from our soul sleep, pay attention to his words, to learn from him, and to fill our soul with the truth. When our soul is filled with the truth, our soul is filled with the God of truth. And we will at that time be in God, in his Son, in his Spirit. And they will be in us because his words are in him. And when his words are in us, he is in us. In John chapter 8, the Son of God has a discourse with what are termed the Jews. The Jews can be the leadership of the Jews or those who follow the leadership of the Jews. In John chapter 8, there is a very interesting and important discourse to go through and study to understand. First, in questioning, being questioned by the unbelieving Jews, we take this up in starting with verse 20 of John chapter 8. He spoke these words in the treasury while teaching in the temple. No one arrested him. Why? Because his time had not yet come. And one thing I offer to encourage all of you, our listeners, is that God has a certain time for everything. And if he were to do something ahead of time, it would change the reality from that point on. I think of one very good, well-known example, and that is Abraham. God had promised him an heir, H-E-I-R, an heir through which the world would be blessed. But Abraham was old, and his wife, Sarah, was old. And when I say old, I mean older than dirt.
99. And so he made an error with his heir.
Well, for his heir. Yes.
For his heir.
When we think that God needs us to demonstrate our faith and step out in faith and do something, because we feel that it's time that it was done.
As they say in common vernacular, go with your gut.
It typically makes matters more difficult than they would have been. So we know that Sarah decided that she would never be able to provide an heir, even though God had promised. So, you know, Abraham, take matters into your own hand. Take my servant and have your child by her.
And there is a time to say yes, dear, and do what she says. There's also a time to say no, dear, I'm not doing that.
Get thee behind me.
Or something like that.
Now, I have many very good Arabic friends. And I would not have those friends if Abraham had not taken matters into his own hand. So I would say that God did bless Ishmael. And what God said about Ishmael's offspring could very well, it very well was proven true. So I'm glad it happened. And, you know, God knew that it would happen too. So I'm not advocating, you know, God will take a bad situation and make good things happen from it, but God has time for everything. It has to happen on time. Think back over your life and think about, how did I come to get on to Blog Talk Radio, to listen to this person that is definitely not mainstream, might even be highly questionable? How did that happen? Was God leading me? That's what I hope. I hope that it is God that is leading all of us. Because we are free to make our own choice as to who we believe. And I try very hard to make sure that the words that I say are the words that have come from God. The words, the same words that you find in your Bible, and I find in mine. We are in a very, very trying time on earth right now. And I want you to know that God has not turned his back on us. In fact, I think that God is about ready to do something that only God can do, because it's his time, in his time. Verse 21, John chapter 8. Again, he said to them, I am going away. You will look for me, and you will die in your sin. Where I am going, you cannot come. He didn't say may not. He said, cannot. The Jews said to one another, will he kill himself? Is that what he means by saying, where I am going, you cannot come? You see, they missed the whole part about you will die in your sin. You are from below. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. I have told you already. You will die in your sins. Yes, if you do not believe that I am he, and when he says he's talking about if you do not believe that I am your Messiah, that you have been waiting for generation after generation after generation, hoping, looking for that time. They knew what time it was. They knew it was the exact time for their Messiah to appear, and here he was. But he was not who they expected. He was not saying what they expected their Messiah to say. He was not doing what they expected their Messiah to be doing. And most of all, he was completely rejected by their religious leadership, the experts who knew all these things. He wasn't what they wanted, even though they knew that he probably was the Messiah. He was not what they wanted. He didn't fit into their plan. And I am sure that if the Messiah were to show up today, stand up in front of some Christian church denomination, up on the pulpit, stand at the podium, and start to talk, some well-meaning deacon or usher would walk up, put his arm around him and say, "Brother, please sit down. You're welcome here, but please don't say anything." You know, that happened to me. Just saying. So they said to him, "Who are you?" Jesus answered, "What I have told you from the outset, about you, I have much to say." About you, I have much to say. And here it is, much to condemn. But the one who sent me is truthful, and what I have learnt from him, I declare to the world. Not to Israel. Not to the Jews, to the world. They failed to understand that he was talking to them about the Father. So Jesus said, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. What the Father has taught me is what I preach. He who sent me is with me and has not left me to myself, for I always do what pleases him. As he was saying this, many came to believe in him. To the Jews who believed in him, Jesus said, to us who believe in him, these words still apply. If you make my word, my teaching, my testimony your home, you will indeed be my disciples. You want to be a disciple of the Son of God? You need to know what he taught and what he said. You need to know what he taught about every subject.
And Rick, I love that word in the Jerusalem Bible. You will make my word your home. What is a home?
Well, you know, what I think about is the wise man and the foolish man.
Well,
each one built a home, right?
Well, no, they built a house.
Well, they built a house.
What's
yeah.
a home? See, a home, what's a home is what exists inside
of that house.
Well, you built
a house, and then what the house becomes is
a home.
Is.
And for me, it's a place of refuge. I can go to work, and I can come home. And I can leave all of that outside the door, and I can come in here. I can visit with my friends. I can take care of my animals, even if it means getting up at 2 o'clock in the morning to take my little dog for a walk outside. It's my place where I am the most comfortable. And that is what God wants mm-hmm. of us in his words. It's our refuge. It's
well,
our
what
strength.
You're,
it's
all
what of
you're
that.
Describing is that when you know his word, when you know what he taught, what he teaches, what he is teaching, then you can feel that same feeling of safety and security. Doesn't matter the storms, the floods, the winds. Your house is not going to come crashing down when it is built on the words of truth.
Absolutely.
And that's why it is a home. Dennis, you're exactly right.
But it's not the kind of home that you do a makeover to according to your own preferences.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So if you make my word your home, and you will then indeed be my disciples. And what is a disciple, by the way?
Student.
A student.
It is a student under discipline. And discipline is not punishment.
It's a teacher in waiting.
And we see that also again in Revelation 3 in the Laodicean message.
And you know, one of the things that was the most meaningful to me during my years of teaching is when a student of mine in my band understood what it was to be under the discipline of the band. It's not my discipline. It's the discipline that makes the band a team and plays together with joy, as opposed to each doing their own thing and having it sound like a cacophony.
And what is the job of a disciple? The Son of God said more than once what the job of a disciple is.
To learn and then teach.
To perfectly imitate or emulate your master, your teacher. And that means you share the teaching of your teacher.
And you know, and you've taught me something this year that has been, and it's not that I knew it, but it really hit me. We pray for things, right? That's what we've been taught in church. Pray for things. Pray for people. Pray for all these things. And the more you pray, the more God will listen to you. And what I learned this year is all you have to do is hold that person that you want to pray for in your mind and then say, Father, your will be done, because he knows what they need better than you do. And when it happens, you can then say, I had nothing to do with that. That was God. You can't claim that your prayers affected the issue. And that's what I learned.
And you know that whatever happens, it was God's will, and God's will is always the best, even though it may not seem like it to us at the time. But there's that word again.
At the time.
Time. If you make my word your home, you will indeed be my disciples. You will learn the truth. And the truth will make you free. Grace doesn't make us free. The truth makes us free. They answered, we are descended from Abraham, and we have never been slaves of anyone. What do you mean you will be made free? You see, when you understand the truth, because you know the truth, you will understand that what he's talking about is not slavery to another person, but slavery to another spiritual being. The devil has had a very, very, very long time to work in this world. And he has been perfectly successful with rare exception. Anyone who believes in, worships, and practices a lie or lying is a servant of the originator of lies. That's what the darkness is that the Word came into. He came into a world of darkness. He didn't go to the people living in South America or North America or Europe or Africa or India. He went to Israel. The people that he had given the law, the people that he had sent all the prophets to. The prophets were informing the people that they weren't abiding by the law that God had given, and that if they didn't change their ways, judgment was coming. There were those in Israel who were keeping the law and who were worshiping in truth. Unfortunately, it was just a minority. God wanted a nation who was righteous, from the ruler down to the lowliest servant. They needed to be righteous, in fact, and that was never accomplished. This world is still in darkness, but the light has come, just as God said that it would. Verse 34, Jesus replied, "I tell you most solemnly, everyone who commits sin is a slave." Everyone who commits sin is a slave, not a slave of God, a slave of the evil one. Sin is not something to be treated lightly. Now, the slave's place in a house is not assured. But the son's place is assured. So if the son, capital S, makes you free, you will be free indeed. Now the devil has used these words and twisted them. The son did not set us free by his death. He set us free by his life and his teaching. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 17, that woman who's standing on the moon, clothed with the sun, has a crown of 12 stars on her head. She gave birth to a son, her firstborn son. What were the birth pains? Do you know? It says that she's crying out in birth pains. What are the birth pains? The birth pains are her developing fetus, embryo, infant. Spiritually, what it is the process of meeting all the demands of righteousness so that when her firstborn son was born, it was because he had proved in his spiritual development, because she gives birth to spiritual beings. Keep your finger there and go to, I know we're running out of time, but John chapter 17, verse 17. And we could start out, I guess, a little bit, 16, 15. So John chapter 17, starting at verse 15, I'm not asking you to remove them, the disciples, from the world, but to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world any more than I belong to the world. Consecrate them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world, and for their sake I consecrate myself so that they too may be consecrated in truth. Let me say that in another way. Just as I went through the sanctification process and was born of the woman, please allow them also to go through the sanctification process, which is the process of learning the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so they too can be born of the same spiritual mother that I have been born. See, in Revelation 12:17, when the woman has given birth to the firstborn son, she doesn't, that isn't her one and only child. It says that the dragon went after the last or the rest of the offspring of the woman. And who are they? Who are these who have been born of the same mother, spiritual mother, that the Son of God was born by? They keep the commandments of God, and they hold to, because they have learned it, the testimony, the teaching, the words of Jesus. Back to John chapter 8. Let's go down, because we are running a little short on time. Let's go to verse 41, I think it is. These are the religious leaders in response. We were not born of prostitution. They went on, we have one Father, God. Jesus answered, if God were your Father, you would love me. Since I have come from God. Yes, I have come from him. He knew they knew who he was. He knew that. And he knew why they were trying to trip him up, to catch him on something. He knew why they were trying to arrest him and kill him. Verse 43. Do you know why you cannot take in what I say? It is because you are unable to understand my language. Huh? They understood the language. He apparently was speaking in Aramaic, and they all knew Aramaic. He's saying, you don't understand the truth, the words of truth. To you, they are a foreign language that you can't understand. It is because the reason you can't understand my language, can't take it in, it is because you are, the devil is your father. Whew. Ouch. You know, I bet that stung like they had just been whipped cat of nine tails. The devil is your father, and you prefer, there it is, preference, to do what your father wants. He was a murderer from the start. He was never grounded in the truth. There is no truth in him at all. When he lies, he's drawing on his own store, because he is a liar and the father of lies. He is a liar and he's the father of lies. And those who believe in, worship, and practice lies, he is their father.
And so for those who believe that when God created Lucifer, he actually created lies, because that's what Lucifer became, this just disabused them of that notice, of that notion.
Child of God, this is verse 47, listens to the words of God. If you refuse to listen, it is because you are not God's children. I say that when we are born, we exit our mother's womb and take our first breath. We are not born into the truth. We are born into a world of darkness. That darkness is spiritual, and it's brought about by the ruler of this world, the God of this world, small g, who controls this world through carefully crafted ancient teachings, which are lies. We have been lied to about everything. We've been lied to about God. We've been lied to about the devil. We've been lied to about history. We've been lied to about everything. And they're now still, they're trying to make more lies now. What they're teaching children in school, I don't know if you've seen it here in the United States. They're teaching a way of doing math that is the most cockamamie way that I have ever seen. It isn't 2 + 2 = 4 anymore. But you take 2 and you add 3 and you subtract 4 and then you add 6 and then you divide by this and that and the other thing and you come up with 5. So 2 + 2 in their method is 5. Lies. We say, well, how do I know if it's a lie? Where can I go to make sure that all I read about God is the truth? It's the Bible, you see, the Bible. There's no lies in the Bible. Oh, yes, there are. Just like God allowed the serpent into the garden where the man and the woman he had created lived. And he lied to them, and he got them to believe his lie, and things got really bad. The Son of God told us a parable about the wheat and the darnel. Planted in the same field among each other, the darnel was planted among the wheat. What's the wheat? It's the words, right? The seed, wheat seeds and the darnel seeds sprout and grow. They grow together. It's all there in the parable, Matthew 13. The good seed is called the sons of the kingdom, and the bad seed, the darnel, is called the sons of the evil one. All in the same field, all growing together. What God has done is he has given us the testimony of his Son as the gold standard of truth. And if you go to the eyewitnesses, his disciples who heard him, we have Matthew and we have John. Mark was not a disciple, but his writing doesn't contradict Matthew, except for the very last, like, four paragraphs, which were added by scribes who were translating the scripture. They didn't think that Mark's ending, where the ended with the empty tomb, it should have some more in there.
Yeah, it didn't have enough punch.
So they took the ending from Matthew and from Luke and from John and kind of mixed it up and put it there at the end of Mark.
All's well that ends well.
The gold standard is the testimony of Jesus, and the only ones who can accurately and truthfully testify to the words he said were the ones who were there when he said them. And yes, I know there are people who say, well, we don't know that John wrote John, and we don't know that Matthew wrote Matthew. But what we do know is what God said about his word. And that when he gives his word and he expects it to accomplish something, he doesn't make his word unavailable to those who are living 2,000 years after they were said. Otherwise, God's a liar. And God does not lie.
But that is what Satan wants you to believe.
So, with Matthew and John, you test everything else in the New Testament against those twos, those two disciples' account of what they heard their teacher say. And you will find right away that Paul's teaching immediately contradicts Matthew's and John's. These are the final days in this world's existence, spiritually. These are the days of Elijah.
We thank you for joining us today. Thank you for spending time with us this year. And we encourage you to, again, join us next year, next week on Friday for another edition of The Bible on Trial, and a week from today for another edition of The Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling. On behalf of Spirit of Truth Ministry, this is Dennis wishing, on behalf of all of us here, wishing you a wonderful new year. And we'll see you all next year. So long for now.